Okay, I think we'll, even though we've given enough time, we'll have to make a start. So, good morning and welcome to the meeting of Stafford Borough Council Special Planning Committee. My name is Scott Spencer, I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start for everyone present. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it in silent mode? And can I ask members of the public, although there's none here at the moment, to refrain from commenting from the public gallery. If there's any disruption to the meeting, they will be asked to leave. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 10 minutes. I will indicate when you have 1 minute, when they have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 10 minutes. An audio recording has been taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are aware they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Do we have any apologies?
Councillor Nixon, substituted by Councillor Reid. Councillor Kenny, Councillor James, Councillor Edgeler, substituted by Councillor Cooper, and Councillor McNaughton, substituted by Councillor Loughran.
Thank you. Do we have any declarations of members' interests or lobbying?
Just one. One of the applicants is the Staffordshire Wildlife Trust. I am a member, but I don't have any policy or project involvement, so I feel there's not really a conflict of interest there. So I'll proceed with the meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Hobbs?
Same.
And Councillor Cooper?
Again, it's no material consideration, I don't believe, but just to say that I'm a member of the National Trust, which is National Trust, and also a ward member of the area.
I must also bring up that I'm also a member of the National Trust. Okay, I shall move on to the application in front of us, which is application 24-39885 for Shubborough Hall, Litchfield Road, Shubborough. I shall hand over to Ed to present it.
Thank you. This application is for engineering works associated with a proposed wetland restoration project at the Shubborough Estate. The project involves wetland creation, floodplain reconnection and habitat creation. Channel widening and changes to the ground levels are proposed. The application is to be determined by the Planning Committee in accordance with the Council's constitution due to the site area classifying the development as a large-scale major. The presentation that you'll see on the screens has been amended since it was made available to members. The cut channel, which was shown in purple to the top of the overview drawing, was omitted during consideration of the application. And the presentation that you'll see today contains the up-to-date drawings with this element being removed. Before I get onto the presentation, there were a few queries during our site visit this morning that I can clarify. With regard to Himalayan balsam, the supporting document suggests it's difficult to eradicate due to the spread via watercourses. However, they do intend to remove it from riverbanks and then continue with ongoing control. Queries on outflows from scrapes, there is no reference in the documentation. The scrapes are generally in areas which are already wet, so retention of water here is likely to be beneficial. It's proposed to retain all trees and avoid excavation within the RPAs, the root protection areas. Excavated earth is most likely to be spread within the estate, either on the adjacent field or within the walled garden. And there are no plans to make any changes to the duck covert, which is the potential archaeological remains. So the plan. Plan view shows the location of the application site. It's on the eastern extent of the Shubborough Estate. The area to the southwest on the screen now is the site of the visitor centre and the car park that you saw currently under construction. The area to the north of the railway that cuts through the middle of that screen is where the car park and the visitor centre would be. And then obviously the area shaded in red is the field that we did this morning. Five photographs I'm about to show you were taken from from outside of the site and from the west and the north of the site within it, as indicated on the face of the plan. First, from the western boundary, this is looking north. You can see the banks of the River Trent made out of the trees being on the far side of the river. View northeast from the same location, again the trees being on the other side of the river. View northwest from the bank of the river, that's the northwest corner of the site. A view roughly east along the bank of the river from the northern part of the site, and from the same location, a view southeast across the site from the bank. Plan 1 shows the application site within the Shugborough landholding. Plan 2 shows this on an aerial image. 3 is an overview of the proposed works. So this is the drawing that has been amended from the presentation you saw in your paperwork. The cut channel was to the north of Wetland 1, which is the greyish, nearly circular area to the top right, top left, sorry, of that image. Plan 4 indicates the general extent of the proposed cut and fill in these areas. 5 is the wetland specification. 6, the scrape specification. 7, the riffle specification. 8, the low terrace. 9, the channel widening. And 10, embankment removal. These have got the general parameters of each of these features, and they cross-reference back to the first drawing that you saw. The recommendation is that the committee resolve to approve the application, subject to the conditions set out in the published agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have one speaker for this, a supporter. That's David Cadman, if you would like to come forward. You have 10 minutes to speak on this, and we'll let you know when there is 1 minute to go.
Excellent, thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, the committee. Hopefully, you've got quite a lot out of this morning's site visit. So, I'm David Cadman, I'm Head of Nature Recovery Networks at Staffs Wildlife Trust. Our plan, our proposal, which is in front of you now, it is actually quite a significant river restoration project that we have worked up in partnership both with the AONB unit, with the Environment Agency. It's part of a project called the Trent and Sour Washlands. And we know that the UK is one of the most nature-depleted areas of the world, and we're now looking at 1 in 6 species potentially being lost, species such as otter, which frequent the site. We've done an awful lot of river restoration work in Staffs over the last few years, to the degree where we were awarded the River Restoration Prize nationally in 2023. So what we're trying to do here is to tackle a number of issues, clearly biodiversity, and trying to recover biodiversity, not only in the borough, but in the county, the country and beyond. We see this as part of a network of projects that we've done in and across the county, particularly focusing on the River Trent, obviously the third longest river in Staffs, and an issue for us to focus on in terms of flooding, flood mitigation. So this project essentially wraps all of those elements into one. We are looking at benefits for what we call nature-based solutions. So we are looking at improving water quality, improving biodiversity, but also improving flood mitigation. And it is essentially trying to return those fields at Shugborough into the natural floodplains that they would have been before agricultural intensification. So obviously we're working alongside the National Trust, and these are incredibly complicated projects to fund. This particular one has 3 funders. The Environment Agency themselves are offering $75,000 towards this. We've also got a contribution from the FIPL Fund through the AONB unit, and then there's also money through the Trent and Sale project. What is completely in our hands, and is one of the most complicated elements, is to try and deliver a project such as this in, you know, with three different funders, and also the seasonality of the work, so we really can't work on this beyond September. So we are quite keen that obviously this gets approved today so we can start work on this, because we will miss the funding window if it doesn't. We can't use the funding beyond March next year. So these sorts of river restoration, habitat restoration projects can become incredibly complicated because of these factors around flooding, weather conditions, gain permission, as we've had to gain several permissions here, most notably the Environment Agency, and then the sort of quirks of funding. So this, as I say, most the three funds that that cover this particular application, none of them will enable us to go beyond March 2026 in terms of continuing this work. So yeah, time is not on our side, but we sort of stand by this, that this, in terms of what the borough is trying to do, in terms of nature recovery, in terms of what the county, through the local nature recovery strategy, but also the government's commitment around achieving 30 by 30, which is trying to achieve 30% of land in appropriate condition for conservation by 2030, that this project adheres to all those aims and ambitions.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Okay, I'll open the application to the committee. Councillor Hood.
Yeah. I was looking at page 5, where it's the objection from Historic England, even though it says no objection, and then just below comments, objection.
You mean page 15?
Yes.
Thank
you. The meadow to the west of the river floods, and it says, however, the creation of a low steep-sided terrace would introduce a change in the historic character of the meadow, potentially as an artificial appearance, and it's not clear how high above the existing surface level the low terrace will be. So when will that become clear?
We will be...
Okay, yes, please go ahead.
No, somebody else.
No, please go ahead, and if you can answer that.
So what we're aiming to do, and what we've talked to both the County Council, the Historic Environment Record side of things, as well as Historic England, is we'll have an archaeologist on site all the way through the works to make sure, essentially a clerk of works covering the archaeological features, and to attain that balance between the biodiversity and the nature and the nature recovery side of things with the archaeological interest. So, as I say, we've funded someone to be on site to make sure that is done correctly.
Okay, through you, Chair, could I just ask another question?
Yes.
I did ask at the site visit about otters. Mm. I know that they're at Trentham, I know that they're at Stone, though we've never seen them, but we do have evidence.
There's lots of Stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing. So, would there be any kind of potential threat to the otters?
Not threat, no. Yeah. I mean, opportunity for them, because we're likely to create habitat that's more suited to otters. And there are lots of otters on that stretch.
Yeah.
And that's something we're particularly sort of careful around. Pre-commencement work, there'll be a lot of protected species looked at, and we'll be doing checks for otters and crayfish. Not so that there are any, but we need to fulfil our brief to check all of those things. So, if anything, we're hoping that there are more otters on site post-work than currently.
Thank you, that's an absolutely brilliant answer. Thank you, Chair.
Anybody else? Councillor Reid.
Yes, you have to mention crayfish at that point. I'd like to draw our attention to clauses 9.7, but also, let me get this right, 11.3. They both mention the white-tailed crayfish.
Yes.
I just want to make sure they're compatible, because one of them says we will be looking for and removing the crayfish, but then 11.3 says we will be protecting the crayfish. Can we just make sure those are tied together?
Yes, and I think that, again, that is, we are likely to find signal crayfish. We are incredibly unlikely to find white-clawed crayfish. They haven't been recorded in the area for a long time, but that pre-commencement checking is what is going to sort that out.
Can I just say that any questions directed to the supporter are merely for clarification?
Yes.
Thank you. Carry on.
And Chair, we mentioned the signal queries which aren't in here. I wonder what the protection or otherwise of the signal crayfish versus the native white claw crayfish is, and whether that's relevant.
So to clarify, yeah. Yes, signal crayfish are not native, they're invasive, non-natives that we, again, pre-commencement work will check to see whether they're on site, particularly because of issues like crayfish plague, which do affect our native populations. But again, all of this is pre-commencement work as part of our sort of ecological clock of works to make sure all of those sort of parameters are in place before any work commences.
Councillor Kibbett.
Yeah, thanks. Through the chair, if I could just ask a clarification on slide 1.6,
yes.
Where it talks about the finalised management and maintenance plan to ensure continued performance of the system, primary water course and so on. Who will be down to manage that?
Luckily, that's the National Trust. So we, obviously, we're the Wildlife Trust, but we're working closely with the National Trust, hence it is their site. So we've discussed, we've produced management plans for them to follow, and it's essentially what they've been doing since they took the site on anyway. So it's not anything new to them.
Okay. Councillor Cooper again, yes.
If I've got another point of clarification, and find where it was I picked it up. Well, generally speaking, I know the site is not open to the public, but presumably it's going to fall under CDM regs because of the
yes,
period
absolutely,
of time.
Absolutely.
So site facilitation, will you screen the site off to prevent people wandering in where the diggers operating and stuff?
Yes, there will be barriers to prevent people coming on. I mean, one of the issues is whether we can still get our contractors on for the time that we have remaining to do the work. But yes, they will follow CDM and have appropriate facilities and screening in place.
Yeah, okay. Okay. There's just a point of clarification if I could, probably in the head. Duck Covert, I'm local, but I don't know which patch is actually called Duck Covert.
It's, I believe it's just the woodland itself, so the little area of woodland.
On the end of it, yeah.
On the edge, well, southern edge, is it there? So the eastern edge. The field has a different name that escapes me. Sorry.
Shackamore.
We've only ever visited Duck Covert.
Is there a question coming? Or
it's a point of clarification of interest, so that I don't understand where bits are. It's referred to quite a bit in here.
Okay.
As on where is that? Yeah.
Okay. No problem. I think Councillor Cross was first, then Councillor.
Yeah, it was just a point was made about the detailed management maintenance plan. If you look at your conditions, condition 6 includes that as a condition. Mm-hmm. So that point that was brought up is covered.
Just to add to that, this
sorry,
point.
Can I?
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Well, if we need clarification, we'll come to you. Thank you, Councillor Hobbs.
Well, I was just going to say the fact that the site is historically wetland, it's recommended by the Conservation Officer, Canal and River Trust, Wildlife Trust. It seems a really positive thing for the area. And I think we should just go ahead because it should be restored, shouldn't it? And it's going to encourage so much wildlife and, you know, particularly things like otters. You know, I don't know why we're waiting, really.
Okay,
I mean, I think it's been a very positive morning and it's been very informative.
Mm. Okay, thank you. I think just before we go to the proposal and the vote, I'd just like to just clarify a couple of things if possible, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
I noticed on page 18, it's following on from the local lead flood authorities comments, they put some recommended conditions. And I think most of them are covered in conditions stated. However, second one from the end, surface water management plan to ensure that surface water runoff and contaminants are intercepted, treated, stored and appropriately discharged. And have we discussed this on site?
Is that
under a condition?
If you look at page 17, no it's not. If you look on page 17, you've got the timeline of LMFA comments. So
mm-hmm.
On top of page 17, 22nd of July, they're the latest comments and that's their recommendation. Then you've got 8th of July, 9th of
July,
10th of April. So things changed as we were going through this. There were never any objections, but there were conditions recommended that the applicant said would possibly take some time to get to us. Can they be dealt with after the fact, and some of the conditions would result in more artificial features. So it was going against the idea of the project. So more information was provided as part of the application through the course of consideration, resulting in the final representation for the LLFA, which is at the top of page 17.
Okay. And I have one final one, apologies for this. The Environment Agency, I know it's the application has been dubbed significant to input from themselves, and they've mentioned a couple of conditions, maybe the opportunity to incorporate, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Got the two recommendations there. I am going to ask for clarification on this. Are you looking to incorporate these in part of your...
Where possible, yes. And I think they understand that it will depend... Some of these depend on the actual conditions on site when work commences. But yes, they were changed to include those where possible.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we've heard everything there. What do we have?
Councillor.
Oh, sorry, Councillor.
A proposal.
Councillor Hobbs, yes, were you... Would you have a second there?
Well, I'll
Councillor Cooper was in there straight away, so if we're all happy, if we'd like to take a vote to accept this application. Okay, that's unanimous and passed. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll applaud. Thank you very much. We'll draw this special planning committee to a close. So thank you very much for your attendance.